Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to discuss a smattering of observations from last week's sessions. I'll explain. I've always said that one of the biggest problems I run into with actors is how much time they spend in their head when they're acting. You know, how much time they spend thinking about what they're doing while they're doing. And I know you know what I'm talking about. I mean, this is the big thing when I hear a criticism come from an actor when they say to me, yeah, you know, my problem is, I know what's coming next. They're going to tell me, I just get in my head a lot. That means a whole bunch of things. But the general sense is that you have a kind of a consciousness rolling at the same time you're acting. And that consciousness is aware of everything you're doing, and in a way that we're not in real life. It's a different kind of way. It's an actor kind of way, and you're thinking about what you're doing, and then that next thing, and did that work? And then, you know, it is a consciousness that the actor has that I don't feel humans have, and I think you all know what I'm talking about. That's really kind of what it's like. You just have this, like, half your brain alive, and it's just aware of everything that's going on, and you're analyzing what you're doing, and so on and so forth. And so through time, one of the things I learned was that I'd be better served not to get the actors to think too analytically about acting. For sure, no acting, no discussion of acting, but even what was going on in the scene, I didn't want it to get too analytical in the sense that we were really looking for very specific things. Because, you know, I have this theory, I'm sure you've heard of it in my other podcasts, and that is the idea that the more things you think about, you feel you need to do, notes you want to hit, whatever, the more beholden you are to those pre-planned ideas. And then the less you are apt to be able to really let go, because you'll have to have somebody on guard making sure that you're in fact doing the things at the exact moments you hope to do them. It's as simple as that. Where I find I get the most out of the actor is when I give them the least amount of the most pertinent information and allow them to kind of speak to that knowledge of what's going on without pre-planning things. I think ultimately that's the kind of actor that we need to grow. The actor that can kind of take an idea, like a almost like a bloodhound, if you will, get the scent of it and understand what's going on, and then be allowed to essentially creatively riff on that like we do in life every day. So the thing I noticed in working with actors, and it's kind of what I feel I've evolved to in the way that I work, is I've always said it was a professional class in as much as, you know, I am preparing actors as a coach to get ready to go to work. And so certainly one of the things I never do is talk about acting in the traditional sense, you know, with objectives and beats and action verbs and everything else, because, of course, I know that this stuff is never discussed on a set. So I'd rather put the actors through a rehearsal, letting them get up and do the scene. You know, another one of the rules is they don't get together, they don't run lines together, they don't, rehearse together, just like in real life, just like when you go get a real job. And then you get up and then you do your scene for the very first time, as it would be in this real life situation if you were working. My point about this particular part of the podcast is what I found the recipe to be that works best with actors and in their growth in particular is, you know, we do a different scene every week. So the actors are learning as many lines as possible, you know, weekly, and that only improves that muscle, and you get better at it and you pick up lines faster, which is something we need to do. The idea is, because I've been on sets and I know how it works, is I speak to them, granted, in a slightly more effusive way, obviously, than we'd ever have the time to do on set, but I make sure that we just kind of discuss what's going on in the scene in a way that I think if you were like on a really cool set and it was a great work environment, what would that feel like, you know? And what would you hear from a director who was just going to speak in terms really of story and things that you would discuss on a set and leave all the acting nonsense out? Here's what I think about that acting nonsense. Now looking back, I see that what it does is it just too much gets the actor into their own thing. You know, this is my big criticism with traditional acting, is that it's all about me, my instrument, me, my feelings, my inner monologue, me, my, just forever. And I find it indulgent. The problem I see with this kind of acting is that I can feel the actors kind of absorbed into their own machinery. They're just too absorbed, self-absorbed with what they're feeling, what is motivating them. Are they feeling the trigger? Are they? And there's like a constant awareness of their machinery, because that's kind of what the preoccupation is in traditional training. I don't think it works on a set at all, which is why, of course, it's never done. No. Instead, I think the trick is in having great workouts is have a basic understanding of what's going on in the scene and what's important to you. And then really make an effort not to memorize the lines in a way that you feel specifically speaks to this idea that you have. No, instead, as you go over your lines, try and do them a variety of different ways, almost like an exercise. But the trick being, try not to fall in love with the way you think you're going to do something. Where I find I get the most out of the actors is when I can get them to just basically understand something and then go with it. That's when they use their instincts, as they do in life. You know, in life, I think without a doubt, people are way more nuanced and clever and turn of the phrase and aware than they ever are when they're acting. There is a just freewheeling. Well, it's the thing, of course, you practice all the time, and some people are better at it than others, but all people are better at the way they can communicate with nuance and be interesting and everything else, just like it's fallen off a log in real life. And you know, we struggle to replicate that when we work. And I keep coming back to the idea that, well, then I just want people to think the same thoughts a person would think then. Maybe let's just try that. Let's just go with that, since that seems to be the magic in real life. And then let's allow a certain amount, as much latitude as we can. And we know what we're going to be saying. We know how this thing's supposed to be. But within that framework, let us not then too pre-plan how we're going to do everything. You just think about that. The art has to come into the way we on the fly go with stuff. I find that when actors have a good solid understanding of what's going on in a scene at the top, it carries them through and they do their best work. So the trick is to stay out of your head. That really is it. And the best way to do that is, again, not be obliged to a bunch of ideas and things going on in your head that you think you need to do. But instead, like a bloodhound, just pick up on the scent and what's going on in the scene and pursue it. Don't overthink it. That's the thing. That's where I find actors are making the most progress. They memorize a new scene each week. They don't rehearse it with the other person. They get on their feet. And then the final part to this, and what I constantly put the actors through, and this is where I see they're getting the most benefit, is I'm always giving them some sort of direction, something very specific. I base it in something that I can, you know, give them, saying, hey, here's what I'm thinking. Would it be reasonable to say that maybe da 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 about you and da 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 about you? So perhaps maybe the idea here in what you're going after is, and it's, you know, we're speaking like it's real life, and it's very different from what they were going to do. In fact, if at all possible, not just for the sake of being different, I really do shake things up. And what I find is that the more I can get the actor to drop their ego, and it takes practice, you know, Because as soon as you tell an actor that you want something different, the knee-jerk reaction, the default is they immediately think they did it wrong. And then they want to argue with you about why they did what they did. And what you come to quickly understand, certainly in working in this atmosphere that I create, is that it's not important what you care, what you said. We're not filming it. This is the exercise in the dojo. I'm giving you something that's reasonable. It may be completely different from what you were thinking, and I want you to do it, and I want you to do it like right now. Don't even question it. Just do it. That exercise right there, I find, is where we get huge improvement out of the actor. Because when the actor realizes, when they can set their ego aside, when they say it's not about like, oh, I did this right, I did this, none of that matters. All that matters is that you hear the idea in front of you and you just do it. Now, why is that so important? Well, because you realize you can do anything, you can make it work. That's what you practice in the dojo. It may be something completely different. You look at it completely differently now. I want you to do it another way. I don't want that. I want something different. I want it to be this. And I explain it. You know, I just don't go, you know, hot, go. I mean, I explain what I want, just like it would be explained to you if a director took special care on a set. Sometimes actors struggle with that, you know. They take it personally, and then it's hard. Or they have the mistaken idea that they're supposed to take my idea and somehow combine it with their idea. And I have to constantly say, look, take your idea, throw it out the window. What does it matter? We can remember it. You can do it again in a second. It's not a piece of clay we just broke. It's just something I want you to completely set aside, and I want you to completely listen to this now. This exercise right here is a great exercise, folks. It really is. That's the dojo working out. That's the trying different combinations. And what that does is it broadens the actor's mind when they look at a scene, because then they're not constantly thinking, oh, it's this way and it has to be exactly this way, you see. Because they've proven to themselves again and again they can do things many different ways, and all of them are interesting for certain reasons. But what it really tells you is there just isn't one way. So find a way that you think is the way, do that. But if somebody says do it another way, make sense of what they just said, spin it into gold, and do that now. That right there, that quality right there, is what I see has made the most improvement in actors. That one, more than anything else, because I will notice the difference in the actor when it first starts. Sometimes I'll hear them say, well, you know, what you're telling me to do, that just, I mean, I don't understand that. Why would I do that? Why, you know, and I really, okay, well, look, here's what you got to understand. That doesn't matter. You're not always going to be given a bit of direction that you're going to be able to totally immediately say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. I would do that. Who knows what you're going to be asked to do? Some of it may seem so crazy and it'll end up being genius. Some of it will seem really crazy and it will be crazy. But, you know, what are you going to do? You're on a set. You're being told to do something. And if there's ever a time to practice trying to make whatever you hear work, try and spin that into gold, it is in the dojo where you can practice. And it doesn't matter. The actors that struggled with that in the beginning and then let that go, that's when I saw the biggest change in their work. It's a great exercise. One of the big things I hear from actors, I say, wow, that was some really good work tonight. What'd you do? They say, you know, I just decided to quit thinking about stuff. I've said this in my podcast. I go, really? I just don't think about stuff. Now, obviously, I think about some things. What that's saying to me is that they've come from a world where they overthought, overanalyzed every little thing they did, and now they're finding they're doing their best work by being unencumbered with a lot of analysis and planning and thinking, but instead finding a way, whenever, wherever possible, to freewheel, to just make that stuff up as you're going. You're saying the lines, but there is this freedom that's so obvious. I know it generally, because then if they, you know, when they repeat the scene, we do it again, they do it differently. I can tell they didn't rehearse this that way, because now this one's different. I can always tell when I've given an actor a note, a different direction, and it works for them, you know. And I know that they know it works for them, because I'll see this ease in their work. And all this stuff they're doing is completely new, and it makes perfect sense. And I know they feel good about it, because when we stop, certainly I say, that was felt better, right? I know it did. You can always tell when things are really jiving with an actor. The thing just works, and they're on this, they hit this sweet groove where they just start doing new stuff, and it's all pertinent, and it makes perfect sense. And the thing you need to avoid, really, is any situation where you're getting into your head about your process, your thing, your this, your that. I'm going to tell you right now, that stuff is just old black magic nonsense, and you got to stop it. This preoccupation with ourself and, you know, looking into my navel, I mean, if it's not for gazing into, why is it there? Well, more importantly, perhaps to collect lint. Make a habit of under-planning what you're going to do. Learn your lines perfectly without attaching a way of reading to them. Do not attach an intonation that has to be. You have intonation every time you run your lines, but do not attach a specific intonation. Make it a practice to just try and let that go. Get involved with what you're doing in the scene and allow that stuff to pattern, inform, and intone itself as you're going. And then the next time you do the scene, specifically, even if you have to at times, just either pause, do something different. Just keep trying to break out of that rut. That is the best way to jumpstart your creativity. Forcing yourself to come up with something on the spot that's different, if for no other reason but to do it differently. I think there's more currency in that kind of rehearsing than there is in any other kind. Another observation I made watching a bunch of scenes, it seems like we had a lot of scenes this past week that had to do with some sort of romance or a date or some people meeting and needing to impress each other for either romantic reasons or others. And the observation I made was that, and you can kind of take this as just a way to do it, you know, just kind of at least be aware of this, because I'm sure you're going to agree when I tell you. But actors will get into a scene where they're on a date and, you know, they're smiling and they're chatting, and it all seems very authentic, I suppose. It seems real. But, you know, I ask the question, you know, are you excited to be? Do you want to be with this person? Would you like this date to go well? Are you happy to be here? You know, all those questions. And when they're all in the affirmative, you know, when it's like an actual, there's no hidden agenda, you know, it's boy meets girl, girl meets girl, boy meets boy, whatever it is, and they are, it's one of those situations where you just, I guess, if nothing else, you're hoping the date's going to go well. You're hoping this encounter is going to go well. I mean, I'm sure you all can relate to that, right? Whatever that situation is, even if it's a business thing, but whatever it is, you're meeting another person. We could say it's romantic. A lot of these were, and you hope this thing goes well. Here's my observation. What I've noticed in real life, if you could witness one of these at a table near you, is that the participants tend to overlap and be over-interested in everything that's being talked about. Right? You've seen that. You've done it yourself. We overlap a bit. The person's making a joke and we laugh a little harder. And the person is talking about something and we're more interested. Now, are we trying to manipulate the situation? Oh, maybe. I mean, we certainly want it to go well. I guess we're manipulating it in that way. But I think it's just it's a human trait I've noticed. That's how you can tell a lot of times when, you know, there's a table over there with a couple and it's just too much going on. There's too much electricity. And if you look at it, they just seem to be overly fascinated, overly excited, overly enthusiastic. Again, I don't think it's a manipulation. It's just it's this kind of drive we kind of get into when we're all just continually throwing some wood on the fire of communication. we want the other person to know we're really enjoying them. And if we're laughing extra hard, I think part of that is, man, I'm just so happy to be here. And you, if you're funny at all, that's great. I'm happy. And we just, it's almost like some kind of social applause, you know, we're letting the other person know that we're ultra fascinated, ultra interested. When I ask actors to do that, or I remind them of that in these sessions, it's amazing how charming the scene becomes, because we know what's going on as the audience. You can kind of tell, you know, that joke wasn't that funny, but the other person laughed and it was authentic. That's important. You got to be at least as good as you would be in life. And if you were fake laughing and fake everything, then you would just be a creepy person who was a fake, who was obviously trying to ingratiate himself somehow with, you know, this overdone stuff. No, I'm talking about real life when it's just charming and lovely and you can just see that thing happening. If you try that in a scene, when you come up to one where it's a romantic scene or something, you just try it and see how much fun you have. Just really go for it, though. You know, really laugh, really be enthusiastic, really have your head nodding when they're talking about something that you agree with. Don't be shy with that stuff. And I notice in the classes sometimes we'll have one of these things and everyone's so reticent. And I say, you know, if I went on a date with you, I would think I was a total bore. I mean, you're looking at me and, you look like you're not sad, but man, I don't feel any snap, crackle, pop. And don't tell me, well, if there's no snap, crackle, pop, what are you supposed to do? Well, you know what? Do you? Is that what you do? Don't we go out on dates and they don't work and we still laugh and have a good time and then say, oh, yeah, let's do it again. And we never do it again and we get home and go, oh, God, that was just like pulling teeth. But at the time, man, we are so good at doing that stuff. Why? Because, you know, we have social grace. Because we all just want to get on. Because we don't want to cause problems. Because we don't want to be mean to someone. So we do this. Now, how would the audience know? Well, if the audience were watching, there would have been a scene before where we were saying, this is what we hope happens. And then we could see in this scene that's not happening at all. Or by now we know what the other person's type is. So we know when they get together, this is never going to work out. And the more we see that person doing that thing, that social custom of making it work and being pleasant and present, the funnier it is to us because we know what's really going on. Finally, I asked an actor about an audition that I'd helped him with. It was for a big thing. And at the following session when I saw him, I said, so, hey, how did that go? Did you put it down on tape? He said, yeah. I said, I could have done better. He's a little disappointed. You know, he's a relatively new actor. I said, yeah. Well, did you try when you did it? He said, yeah, of course. I said, you studied your lines, you did everything you could? He said, yeah, absolutely. I said, well, that's the best you could have done. If you could have done better, you would have, but you couldn't. So what you saw on that tape was your best effort. So you did do the best you could do. Could you do better? We can all do better. But you couldn't do better right then. You did the best you could. That was it. Now, why am I making a point of it? And why did I then? This is a thing. It's almost like a cancer for actors, man. You got to let that idea go. The chances of you looking at your own work and thinking, okay, that's some top drawer of business, you know, it's slim. Why? Because we're our own worst critics. We know ourselves incredibly well. Stuff that doesn't pass muster for us, other people that don't know us will believe it. I mean, it's just going to happen. It never goes away. Because you'll always be a little bit smarter than your ability. That's just the way it is with an artist. Your awareness of what you're doing grows just a little faster than your ability generally. I mean, there's exceptions to everything. And so you'll spend your life wishing you could be a little better, even though you're tremendously better. Even though most people would die to be able to do what you do. You'll say, yeah, okay, that's right. Yeah, that's good. That's fine. If anything, I think we just have more patience with ourselves as time goes on. And so, man, there's just nothing in saying I could have done better. No, you couldn't have. Right? So we don't get to have that grievance. Why? Because we did as best we could. It's like a sprinter, you know, coming in third and saying, you know, I could have won that race. No, apparently you couldn't have because you didn't. Could you win another race? Perhaps. Let's see when that happens. But in the meantime, you got to let this grievance go, because all it does is eat away at you, and it just makes you feel inept. And then you look at your tape and you get upset, you know? And then you run it back before you send it, and you look at it, and you're so disappointed in yourself that you then go back to do it again. And then you start to get a little frustrated. And then you wish that it didn't do that. And why do you keep saying it like this? And you know, and all of a sudden there's this like snowball effect where you just end up hating yourself. Come on. That's not just for suckers. It's just so indulgent. You do the best you can. You get your lines down. You make sure you get plenty of sleep. You give the best audition that you can do. And then you pick out of a bunch of takes the one that makes you least sick. And that's the one you send in. And the next time you do an audition, hopefully you will have practiced some more, or it'll be a different part and it'll be better. But what you got to live with the fact is that, you know, you're going to feel like a mere mortal when you look at your own work. And you got to get over that thing, because it's really easy to be self-critical. But you want to make sure you nurture yourself so you're not getting upset all the time when things don't quite look perfect. This stuff isn't easy. I mean, it is ultimately, but the hard part is the navigating of all this stuff. You want to do better? Then either reshoot it, or let's just accept the fact this is the best you could do right now. And let's put the grief behind us and just move on to the next time. And each day, let's just get a little better. And we will get better, and then we'll work, and we will spend our lives trying to master this. You'll be easier on yourself. You'll be more accepting. And I think that'll make you more confident, more powerful, and you will accelerate more quickly. If you accept the fact that you can only do what you can do right now, and you just promise to get better at it all the time. That's it. All right, that's what I have for you. My three observations from the last week. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can be found on a variety of platforms, including Pandora, Spotify, Podomatic, iTunes, Verbal, and many more. Please tell your friends. And if you like what you've been hearing, please remember to hit the like button and subscribe. You'll be the first to know when the next one comes out. And if you haven't read my book, The Real Life Actor, you can find it on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. Thanks so much for listening.